right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, August the 24th of the current year. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out just how rigged the game is, and reminding the world that nothing really matters. Everyone is going to die, and the best proof we have of God's existence is alcohol. I'm Morps, and tonight we have BSV. BSV, what are you drinking?
My usual Angry Orchard.
We have Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Guinness Blonde.
Nice. Syntax, what are we drinking?
I am drinking a 50-50 white wine spritzer tonight.
I am actually drinking wine as well tonight. I have a bottle of Western... Try that again. I have a bottle of Western Citizens Bourbon Barrel Blended Red.
Yeah, mine is more like $2 for like the cheapest kind of red wine mixed 50-50 with vodka. Like I said,
well, you know, if you feel like you need to kick it up a notch.
Yeah, it's a 50-50 white wine spritzer.
Damn it, now I wish I hadn't drank all that moonshine. That probably would have been really good to mix with this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No, I had some smoky 120 proof moonshine.
Oh yeah, that sounds good.
It's actually fantastic to do a shot of that before you try to go to bed. It's great, but swish it, but only once.
I had a friend who grabbed just the one of the meat and trees trays from a deli, and a box of wine. Pulled the bag of wine out of the box and just called it an adult lunchable. Stabbed a straw into it and started sucking down. Classy as hell.
I've seen people like duct tape the straws from a camelback onto one.
That's awesome. Ooh, I know what I need to 3D print now is a proper adapter.
Yeah.
For the box to a camelback. I figure that's what you do when you're about ready to buy a new camelback anyways, is you just start putting, you know, like bourbon or wine or, you know, I guess you could just put vodka in there to clean it out.
Yeah, so like, when you're ready to buy a new one, like, that's usually the first or second thing that goes into me, and that's all that really goes into my camelbacks.
I occasionally put water in mine. Heathen, I know.
Fish poop in that shed. It can't be sanitary.
Well, you know, you boil it and mix it with a little bleach first, but, you know, hey, what, you know, to each their own. So, let's go into the lead story tonight, just because it's kind of up there on the dear God help us all level. So, restaurants and other businesses are starting to discover that VR exists and is a thing, and they're trying to use it for training. But they're trying a little too hard to kind of hit a niche with it. So this one is from PCMag.com. KFC decided the best way to teach new employees how to cook its original recipe chicken was to place them into a delicious prison and get them to learn the hard way. At least that's what KFC or its marketing company would like you to believe. That delicious prison is actually a virtual reality game with an atmosphere reminiscent of the original BioShock. Players are trapped in a room while coughing Colonel Sanders' voice explains how to prepare KFC chickens for customers. At the end, there's a test which the player must pass to leave the room and become fully trained KFC chicken preparers. And they actually have the whole thing on YouTube, and it's pretty high on the what the fuck level, because one, you don't actually learn how to cook chicken, and two, you learn that Colonel Sanders has a deep hatred for robots. Never mind that he apparently employs them and scoffs at the idea of robots making fried chicken. But, yeah, he apparently really doesn't like robots. He rails against them, like, a lot. And they tried way too hard to up the creepy factor. Like, yeah, they made Colonel Sanders creepier. I don't know how to explain this.
Yeah, it's fairly intense.
It's kind of got a Saw vibe going on, actually.
Yeah. When I first saw this, I swore that it was it was a joke.
Yeah, it had to be fake, right? Well, yeah. Apparently KFC is putting out that this allows them to train a new employee on chicken prep in 10 minutes instead of the 25 minutes it used to take.
I doubt that.
Yeah.
I doubt that they remember anything from it other than, dear God, now I'm scared of Colonel Sanders. Of course, the worst part is when you're watching the playthrough and at the end they say, you've escaped, you're ascending to a higher plane, and they end up in a KFC break room. And it's just like... Yeah.
Can I go back?
It's like, you know what? The creepy BioShock was better. It's just like,
okay, so I've worked in fast food, and I know the people that I worked with, and they're saying that they're putting an Oculus Rift or something into the break room for training. So how often are they going to be replacing these? Because, you know, John working third shift on a Wednesday doesn't just walk off with it.
Well, okay, so they'll probably end up locking it in the manager's office. And how embarrassing is it going to be when they start to fire up the training program and, you know, the porn program comes up? It's like, oh, whoops, sorry, we left something on there. So,
yeah.
I mean, they tried way too hard with this thing, and it's just like, I don't get it. They're trying to get people to remember these five steps, and they do a weird way of presenting them. It's called poster board. You just, like, you know, have your marketing print them up and put the posters up with the five steps on it. There, your employees will now know them. They can read them on the wall.
But that's too low tech. We have to embrace technology.
It's a marketing stunt. Let's be real. I mean, we know this is a marketing stunt.
Yeah, and not only would they mark it on the wall, but then they would mark it on each individual station. People smart have figured out how to make hamburgers or chicken or what have you really efficiently. This is not that.
Has anybody else watched this, actually watched the VR training?
I'm currently watching it.
It's pretty up there, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say it's a marketing thing, since how often do you have a training thing that gets other people or non-employees to watch?
That's a good point. That's a real good point. Yeah, they usually have to pay people to watch those. Yeah.
and it does. It's not that he has a fear of robots. It's robots.
Oh, God.
They are spelled wholly different, which means they are different things.
So, I was kind of thinking they would have done the whole... Because like KFC is like a crazy big in Japan. I figured they would have done the whole anime thing and had like the shit bursting through the walls and the big eyes and...
No waifu chicken.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of creepy, actually, now that I think about it.
Well, I've heard that they're really big in Australia, too. And if Aryu was here, he would back me up on this.
The mashed potatoes, at the very least. I know Aryu was obsessed with them for about a week and a half.
I don't
want to know why.
Okay, so marketing stunt aside, could you really use something like a Rift or a Vive to do training, like real training?
I don't know if you could yet, because I don't know how good the sensory feedback and stuff is, but right now it's a beefed up training video.
Sure.
If you're good at learning things through videos, then yes, it will work. A lot of people, it's hands-on, and VR isn't quite hands-on in my right now.
Once VR gets hands-on, the porn industry is going to explode.
Well, and that sort, like using a Rift or something... No, I don't think it's viable. But there have been surgeons that have been using types of VR for a while to do training for liposcopic surgery, where it actually connects all of their little things, since it's all motorized anyways. It connects that to a computer that is just an I/O device or a HID device, where they can move their things and do surgery, but they're wearing a VR mask because they would normally be wearing a mask that has a camera inside the body. So in like that case, I would imagine yes, because well, they are.
Something I'm a little disappointed at is the I'm getting into drone racing, right? And I have yet to see a simulator that'll work with like my Gear VR or an Oculus or anything like that. Because if you know, the whole point with drone racing is it's FPV, right? So I would love to get into the VR, because then that's how you actually are going to be flying the thing anyway. So it makes sense, sort of like the surgery you're talking about, where you're already working through a camera. So it's not that different from the real thing. But
And the Navy and NASA have been using VR for pilot training for a while. That's what their flight simulators are.
yeah, but they're not using like an Oculus. It's more like they've got a whole bunch of screens and a fake cockpit.
Yeah, it's a full-blown cockpit on hydraulics, sometimes on a big centrifuge, so you get the
But
full "here's gravity" shit.
that's a simulator. That's no longer VR.
That's what VR's been striving for, is we're trying to give you the immersive full experience. And can you tell me that a simulator doesn't fit the definition of virtual reality? It's not real.
It's
You're
just a
getting the
way
influence
better
of
version
real.
of it than an Oculus strapped to your head. Like a full-on real military simulator, I imagine. I've actually used a simulator that they use for training boat people who I guess it'd be a boat pilot or boat driver.
Captain.
And no, I wouldn't use the word captain for this. But and now, granted, the graphics look like something out of a Voodoo 2, but it was the full deck of the ship, and they had like six different screens going that were the windows, and you know, all the instruments worked and everything. So it was pretty cool. It's just, you know, like I said, the graphics could have used some work.
Did the space camp land the shuttle? Don't let me pilot the shuttle.
Was that the school trip? I may remember that.
Yeah, I was doing it for school.
No, okay, different thing.
It was a summer vacation thing.
No, okay, different thing then. Yeah, because we went out there on a school trip, and I didn't get to do the simulator, but a couple other people did, and a lot of people wrecked it. So.
Oh yeah, I needed to yell "Allahu Akbar" on the way in, because I was not, that thing was not coming in one piece.
Oh, of course, then you have people who like take games like Elite Dangerous or Star Citizen, and they build out the full-on simulators. Those games, I think, a Rift would be awesome for. So.
Yeah, so I play myself a little bit of Elite Dangerous, and by a little bit, I mean there might be 1,000 hours or so on Steam right
Plays a
now.
little bit, might have a problem, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But through an Oculus, it is one of the most amazing things that I've ever done
Oh, do you have
as
an
far as
Oculus?
gaming. Yeah.
See, I don't actually have one, and even with the price drop on the Vive, I just can't bring myself to buy one because I feel like they're way too expensive for what they are. But I have a Gear VR, and it's just like, I have tried to do the whole trick the computer into sending things to the phone, and it kind of works through Trinus, and it's just like, I guess the resolution's just not there on the phone or something, but I was like, dude, this is almost there. So I kind of get it, but it's just like
So,
I can't bring myself to buy an actual, you know, Oculus.
Morps, I just got a message from a good friend of mine that does a lot of drone flying and racing and like fixed wing RC
Sure.
stuff. They say what you need to find is real flight, and it comes with a two-stick RC controller that, or you can use your own and plug it into your computer. There's a thing for it, and you can do it FPS with a drone wherever you want. And
Oh, it'll actually pipe it out correctly. Because the thing is, that same trick I was talking about with Trinus VR on the phone, I feel like with the drone simulators, because it's not trying to throw an entire HUD at you, probably would work a lot better. So I was hoping to find a way to try that, but I was disappointed because a lot of the simulators I was playing with, I haven't tried real flight yet.
Now, granted, this guy's using, and I think he's using an Oculus as well, but...
Sure.
That's something. So he, he does a lot of
drone
flying.
Oh, you actually have to buy their controller with it, don't you? Software only. Here we go, software only. $100,
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, software only. It's a little expensive, and on most of the modern controllers, you can actually go USB out into...
Actually what I do with the controller I purchased, because I haven't spent, I'm just getting into it, so it's not like I spent a ton of money on it yet. And what's this guy? This is a I don't remember the brand name now. Anyways, it's a $60 jobber off Amazon, so it's probably not that fancy. But,
yeah, I mean the props that I have on mine are about that much.
Yeah, like I said, the people who are actually into it have spent a lot more than I'm going to, at least right away. Once I get into it, yeah, sure. But,
it's ridiculous. And then you start flying it around in your apartment because you're like, oh no, look, I can do this thing. And then you fly it into your ceiling fan and you've lost like four $20 props and you broke a $250 chassis and a motor got shelled and thrown across the room. Like,
okay, it sucks about the motor and the props, but I'm going, at least on the chassis, I have a 3D printer. I can make my own.
Yeah, and there's actually a lot of the racers are building their own.
So, and that's actually my plan, is I was kind of hoping to find something in VR to help me learn to fly it a little bit better, but I think at this point I'm just going to have to... I should be getting most of my drone parts tomorrow, so I may have something flyable over the weekend. Yeah, I'm starting off with one of the lower-end racers, and I figure I'll just start 3D printing and upgrading it as I go. Although the frame is probably not going to be my problem. It's probably going to be motors and just learning to steer the damned thing. So,
yeah, well, and it's not that you're going to be upgrading. It's you're going to be replacing.
Well, I figure out, yeah. I mean, that's... Well, when you go look at the guys who are really into it, and you see they have the wall covered in drones in their bedroom or something, it's just like, well... And you can see the upgrade path, so...
Oh yeah.
Dude, stop! Everyone's gonna get alcohol poisoning. Psychos, am I missing a joke?
I'm gonna cut this video up one day after robots are making fried chicken. So I'm gonna go into a KFC and they're gonna have a robot making fried chicken. I'm gonna, like, Colonel Sanders was a liar,
a lying bitch. Anyways,
well, that would be when Colonel Sanders is replaced.
Oh, every time
by
we mention 3D printing, you're supposed to take shots. I gotcha.
Oh, see, I didn't even realize that.
So it's a long-running joke, because for 6 months, it was basically all we talked about on decking.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways.
Yeah, so I got this new 3D printer, and it 3D prints 3D printer pieces. That's three of them, so you can just keep drinking.
Keep going.
3D printer.
What happened to Psychros? He died. Went total teetotaler after that, strangely. Actually, I guess you would if you died, huh?
Yeah, you kinda can't drink alcohol when you're dead. I'm not
Watch
giving
me.
My booze to a fucking zombie.
I will build a rig into my coffin. Watch me.
Fucking watch me.
I need the alcohol to deal with the fucking zombies.
Forties on your grave. Oh, you got low rent friends if they're only pouring out 40s for you.
Yeah, right.
So, anyways,
if I have to click continue to CyberScope, did you break my computer?
Oh, I think it's got a newsletter subscription on it. Anyways, CyberScoop is the first article, just in regular stories, is I got my order all kinds of mixed up. I may have been drinking. This wine evaporated. Anyways, it happens, man. It's just the bottle's gone. It's just empty. Can't leave this shit uncorked. Anyways. From CyberScoop, the FBI has been briefing private sector companies on intelligence, claiming to show the Moscow-based cybersecurity company Kaspersky's Lab is an unacceptable threat to national security. Current and former U.S. officials familiar with the matter tell CyberScoop. The briefings are part or one part of an escalating conflict within the United States government, and Kaspersky amid long-running suspicion among U.S. intelligence officials that many Russian spy agencies use the company as an intelligence-gathering tool of global proportions. The FBI's goal is to have U.S. firms push Kaspersky out of their systems as soon as possible or refrain from using them in new products or other efforts, the current and former officials say. The FBI's counterintelligence section has been giving briefings since the beginning of the year on a priority basis. Proprietors and companies in the energy sector and those that use industrial control and supervisory control and data acquisition systems. So ICS and SCADA.
SCADA's fun.
SCADA's weird because it uses a lot of that PLC stuff. Yeah. So it's like your code all runs at the same time. It's like, no, it's functional. What do you mean it's all running at the same time? It's like, no, all your commands run at the same time. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, and most people put SCADA stuff on the internet, and because SCADA uses a lot of VNC, so they just put it, and it's so hard to put credentials on VNC or on SCADA running VNC that they just don't. So, like, you can really do a Shodan like search. And
oh, there's all kinds of
all
DEFCON
kinds of
videos
cool SCADA.
Oh, where yeah. Guys just go out and scan the. You showed me a couple. So
yeah,
that's now that I think about it.
Yeah, Dan Tentler or Viss.
Yeah,
they're doing.
Where they just go out and scan the internet, and it's like, oh look, here's somebody's beer making system.
Yeah, and that really is like the best feeling in the world when you put 0.0.0.0/0 into mass scan.
Well, technically, any allow all does mean you have a firewall. It just means you're bad at it. So, anyways. Yeah, I got into an argument today at work, and somebody was like, no, they have a firewall. Yeah, but the rule set is any allow. I mean, it's just like, so you really don't now, do you?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Anyways, so in the briefings, FBI officials give a high-level overview of the threat assessment, including what the U.S. intelligence community says are the Kaspersky's deep and active relationships with the Russian intelligence. Well, I'm sure they sell them antivirus software. The FBI officials point to multiple specific accusations of wrongdoing by Kaspersky, such as a well-known instance of allegedly faking malware. In a statement to CyberScoop, Kaspersky spokesperson blamed those particular accusations on disgruntled former company employees whose accusations are meritless. While FBI officials say in private and away from public scrutiny, they know the incident took place and was blessed by the company's leadership. The FBI briefings have seen mixed results. Companies that utilize ISC and SCADA systems have been relatively cooperative, one government official told CyberScoop, due in large part to what's described as the exceptional sense of urgency that dwarfs most other industries. Several of these companies have quietly moved on from the FBI's recommendations against Kaspersky by, for example, signing deals with Kaspersky's competitors. The firms the FBI have briefed include those that deal with nuclear power, a predictable target given the way the electrical grid is increasingly at the center of catastrophic cybersecurity concerns. Traditional tech giants have been less receptive and cooperative to the FBI's pitch. So the article goes on and on and on saying quid pro quo, and maybe this is just politics between the two countries and or between the United States and Russia, and so now they're just trying to hurt Russian companies. You know, I work with some people who've used Kaspersky at other companies in the past, and they really weren't very happy with it. They said it was just obnoxious to work with.
Well, and I think there's a reason that Kaspersky partnered with Best Buy so that every computer that was sold at Best Buy came with a free 1-year subscription to Kaspersky.
Well, McAfee's been doing that shit for years. It doesn't mean they're spying on you.
Well, having a crappy UI or just being hard to work with doesn't mean you're compromised. If someone like the FBI or the NSA wants to say this software is compromised, I think they have the resources to tear it apart and say, here's where the fucking backdoor is. Don't use it.
Well, I'm kind of giving the FBI the benefit of the doubt as well, because truth be told, I think Kaspersky used to do a lot of good research, and a lot of that seems to have stopped. So I'm kind of wondering if their government stepped in at some point and said, no, you work for us. So
that would make sense.
I mean, I could see that, because it was like, I think it used to be really good. And I'm kind of wondering what happened, and the Russian government stepping in and doing shit could very well be it. So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say with this kind of thing, because, of course, it's all hush-hush and speculative and just...
I don't know. It's not like the Russian government has a history of doing things like that.
No, not at all. It wasn't the Russian government. No, it's just the KGB. No, not the government. The government doesn't do these things. They die too often. No, it was the KGB that did this. So,
or what are they now? It's not the KGB. It's the...
Well, they came up with some other name.
Yeah, some other acronym.
They're the KGB. We all know
in Russian. Yeah.
So.
It's Russia. They probably haven't printed new business cards yet. It's the KGB.
Speaking of the KGB, if you needed to protect your iPhone from the KGB, iOS 11 has added a cop button to temporarily disable Touch ID.
Please tell me they're calling it a cop button.
Kind of. Apple is adding an easy way to quickly disable Touch ID in iOS 11. A new setting designed to automate emergency service calls lets iPhone users tap the power button quickly 5 times to call 911. But it doesn't automatically dial emergency service, but instead brings up options and also temporarily disables Touch ID until you enter a passcode. Twitter users discovered the new option in iOS 11 public beta, and The Verge has verified it works as intended. Oh yeah, this article's from The Verge. I don't know if I said the URL or not. Previously, if you wanted to temporarily disable Touch ID, you needed to restart the phone, wait a few days for the device to automatically prompt for the passcode, awkwardly use a different finger a few times to force a lockout, or just disable Touch ID in the settings. Apple's new method is a far more discreet way of locking out a phone, especially if you're in a situation where you're worried somebody might force you to unlock your phone.
So you know the whole thing behind this, because the Supreme Court, at least here in the States, has said that fingerprints can be forced, where a passcode can not be forced. So it's something about physical token versus...
Yeah,
something. One's a description of what you are, the other is knowledge that you may have.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, something you know is kind of protected under self-incrimination. But even more interestingly, at least in my mind, if you're in a situation where you might be quote-unquote forced to unlock the phone, if you're dealing with people who are going to force you to do this, they don't care whether you're punching in your 4-digit passcode or touching your thumb to the thing. I suppose if you haven't, you know, disabled the Touch ID, you could be, you know, have your hand forced onto the device to unlock it. But if they're already to the point of beating you with the $5 wrench, I think you're better off just giving them what they want.
I think you're right in calling this the cops, because cops don't really beat you with the $5 wrench. Now, I, on the other hand, if I need in your damn phone, I got a hammer. They're cheaper than the $5 wrench and hurt more.
And beating with a hammer is a lot. When you take the phone, you take the bolt cutters, and you take the finger. So that way you can have it. You can unlock it multiple times.
So unlocking phones with a fingerprint sensor is a hot topic for law enforcement requests, and police admission even 3D printed a murder victim's fingerprint to gain access to a device. We actually talked about that story. With fears over access to devices at border control points around the world, this quick trick will at least prevent Touch ID from being used until a passcode is entered. The new iOS 11 feature is even more relevant when you consider that Apple is expected to introduce face unlocking in the next iPhone. The ability to quickly disable Touch ID or face unlock features with iOS 11 could be more useful in a scenario where you might not need to be physically forced to unlock an iPhone. iOS 11 is likely to roll out on existing devices next month. They've got a beta out right now. So I don't know that they're calling it a cop button, like, officially, but let's be real. That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
I kind of wonder if the face thing works with pictures. Here's a picture of Bob. Will his phone let the picture call?
It's not supposed to, because the newer cameras are supposed to be able to detect depth a little bit better. And, CyberLard got the reference. Good job.
Yeah.
You win.
I,
granted, there was white wine spritzer almost out my nose when I opened that. But you know, so, it's a blood brain barrier thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, because if you are dealing with the criminal organization, you're absolutely right. They're going to take the bolt cutters and your thumb, you know, or you know they'll just you know the $5 wrench. But if you're dealing with the police, where they have to actually follow some rules, yeah, I don't know. So, anyways,
with the camera, I wonder if they're going to have the Xbox problem.
I don't know, because I don't know how these cameras work. I just know that they're supposed to help defeat the holding up a photograph problem, because they figure out that it's flat, even though it's got, you know, a picture of depth. So, but for those of you who don't know, go look up what the original version of the Kinect, how well it worked with people of a increased melanin count in their skin. That's a kind way of saying I couldn't see black people.
Yeah. On a kind of side note, I've been a fairly hardcore Android user for a while.
Sure.
I was riding my motorbike a couple of days ago and was going through an intersection when I see a rectangular brick basically sitting in the middle of the road. So I stop and I scoop it up and I pull into into the parking lot and realize that it's one of the new iPhone 23 pluses, right? It's the one that's like a foot by 6 inches. It's the big one. It literally had tire tracks across it. And the screen wasn't broken.
Lucky. I've actually got a Windows 8 tablet somebody at work gave me that the screen's busted, but interestingly enough, they must have busted it from the back, because the LCD is busted, but the glass is not.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to rip it apart and see if the motherboard is tablet-shaped or not, because if it's not, I'm going to turn it into basically a Windows 8 Raspberry Pi. Yeah. If it is tablet-shaped, I'm going to see about cutting it and soldering to the traces, but that's going to depend on how exactly it's shaped, because if it's like where I need to make, you know, 5 or 6 solder joins, or I guess it'd be even numbers, so you know, if I needed to do 5 or 6 wires or something like that, yeah, you know, we might consider doing that. But if I'm going to have to do like 30, I've soldered magnet wire before. I wouldn't really be looking forward to it. So
yeah, fuck that.
I don't think we'd be doing that. But anyway,
I think that's right. A sell point on the phone: tire tracks and the screen's not broken.
It was like, and it worked. Like, it worked enough that I brought it home, and I may have plugged the USB rubber ducky into it and things.
You get it?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Nice. Anything amusing on it?
No.
Pictures. Yeah, that's usually the case.
Some lady and her kids. So what do? I call the contact that says like a name and then hubby.
Like, hi, fucking really? I found your phone.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I got the phone. And they really were a little concerned because I called from their phone. They're like, wasn't it locked?
That's when you go,
hi, I have your phone.
I was bored, and I found your phone.
Yeah, basically. I'm like, yeah, I had 20 minutes.
You kick on the voice scrambler. If you ever want to see your dog again. we don't have a dog. If you ever want to see your neighbor's dog again.
According to picture 138 in your camera roll, someone's dog. I've got someone's dog.
Oh, all right. Next article is from infosecurity.com.
Okay, you read that. I'm going to get more drink. I might not hear it.
Fair enough. A new email exploit dubbed Rope Maker allows a malicious actor to edit the content in an email after it's been delivered to the recipient and made its way through filters. For example, the attacker could swap a benign URL with a malicious one in an email already delivered to an inbox, or edit any text in the body of an email whenever they want, all without direct access to the actual inbox. Excuse me. First uncovered by Mimecast research team, a successful exploit could even undermine those that use S/MIME or PGP for signing. The origin of RopeMaker lies at the intersection of email and web technologies, and more specifically, cascading style sheets used within HTML, explained Matthew Greininger, a spokesperson at Mimecast, in a blog. While the use of these web technologies has made email more visually attractive and dynamic relative to its purely text-based predecessors, this has also introduced an exploitable attack vector for email. He added RopeMaker could be leveraged in ways that are limited only by the creativity of the threat actors, which experience tells us is often unlimited. Brian Robinson, a senior security director at Cylance, said there are many aspects of the threat that are not necessarily new, but nonetheless should be on the radar for any organization. This advisory simply highlights the fact that you could receive an email with URL embedded in that HTML email, and the attacker could change the actual destination of that URL to be something not intended, he explained via email. Modern email applications render HTML as if it were a web page and use CSS to make the email look nice. If the current standard practice within every legitimate marketing this is the current standard within every marketing organization in the world. He added phishing emails have been taking advantage of this for some time, including linking to the original source to make it look more legit. For example, you get an email from your bank. The email puts the headers and logos directly from the bank's website, and then the button is actually linked to a different website entirely, like badbank.com. Great example there, InfoSec. Or something else where you are tricked into clicking a link that exposes your credentials to the fake banking site. The technique will work on most popular email clients and online email services. Fortunately, Mimecast has yet to see RopeMaker actually exploited in the wild. What they're doing is they're using CSS to change the contents of email. So, like, the HTML email won't have anything bad, and it'll reference the CSS file out there on the internet somewhere. And because your email program renders, you know, these things like their web pages, really? Badbank.com is up for sale? Who owns that? I could have fun with that URL. That's a lot shorter than my other testing URL, which I currently don't think resolves to anything. I need to check that now.
So people have been using this for a really long time, just not in email.
Yeah, just not in email. So this comes back to a very serious and prominent question that I've been asking myself a lot lately. Why the fuck do people still allow HTML email? Like, yeah, anywhere? Right.
Now, my question is, they said that they've never seen this out in the wild. I call bullshit.
Yeah, it's just not an email.
No, I've seen it in email.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah.
But they're just not wanting to scare people then.
Exactly.
Yeah, my testing URL is not loading anything right now. I must have killed Apache. I did kill Apache. That's right. I was testing WGSI. Anyways, it turns out you can, in fact, get that shit to work with Docker. It's just kind of weird. So, let's see. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. You're right. It's not a new exploit. They're just screwing around with CSS and just... Yeah, oh, yeah, and this works in email. So I come back to you probably shouldn't be using HTML email. That's just a bad idea.
Yeah,
it's really just a bad idea. Unfortunately, you have a lot of people who are like, no, I have to have the company logo in my signature. And, you know, the marketing director loves that shit, so...
They need to compromise the company site that they're pulling the logo from, or is it just compromise the email and then have it go direct to anywhere?
No, you can basically just create an email that's HTML. So you're basically creating a phishing site that you're emailing to someone.
Okay.
And using this CSS exploit, it looks legit because it's literally pulling the page from the legit source.
So, yeah, I mean, you're just, it's, I mean, it's you know, HTML email is what it really is. You can pull the image from anywhere. You can obviously pull in CSS, and they're saying, oh, look, you can use CSS to change where shit goes. So, I mean, hell, it's dumb luck that the stuff blocks JavaScript, because at least some bright spark somewhere goes, maybe that's a bad idea. So,
yeah, HTML email has been a bad idea for a really long time.
So, speaking of amusing bad ideas, let's go to the next one. Here's from the ibtimes.com. Paste, enter, and paste. Cryptocurrency trading sites have increasingly come under attack from cyber criminals over the past few months. Now, hackers have reportedly targeted U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchange platform Bitrex. A fake Bitrex phishing site reportedly popped up and has already stolen from users. Hackers have reportedly are reportedly operating the fake site to steal logins and money saved in the exchange. The fake Bitrex site has been designed to perfectly mimic the legitimate site, even displaying a similar login page, presumably in efforts to lure victims into diverging their login credentials. they're surprised by this. It's not hard to clone a web page, dude. You can W-get the whole damn thing.
Is it similar, or is it exact?
It says similar.
Yeah, it says similar. I'd put dollars to donuts. So if it wasn't exact, then whoever is
close.
Well, whoever's running it is bad.
Yeah, I mean, you just W-get or curl the whole web page down. You can host it yourself. It's not that hard. Hell, the Social Engineering Toolkit has a built-in script for it if you're too lazy to figure out how to do it on your own.
Yeah.
Anyways, HackRaid reported that the fake Bitrex site has minor differences. For example, the fake site is BLTTrex.com, which replaced the letter I with the letter L. According to information on who.is, the popular platform that provides information on the owner of IP addresses. Really? You're explaining what who.is? I should pre-read these stories. The fake Bitrex site is registered to a Russian named Sergey Vladimirov Kirov. The address, phone number, email address, city, and postcode of the owner of the fake Bitrex site is also available on who.is. Please, if they've got a phone number, please start pranking this asshole. The fake site was offline at the time of the writing. It's unclear if the site was taken down by the owner or by the hosting firm. HackRaid reported that cyber criminals were using Google AdWords to rank yet another Bitrex phishing site, Bitrex.me, high on Google search. At the time of this writing, the second fake site is also down. One user who was reportedly the first to plot the phishing domain claimed to have had his Bitrex account hacked and lost $2,000. On August 15, 2017, my Bitrex account got hacked. Lost all of my money, over $2,000. I figured out what happened. The hackers created a website that looks just like the real one. The login page looks exactly the same. The user wrote on Steemit.
I'm not sure that's hacking.
And yeah, they will get your phishing password and authenticator code once you try to log into their website. It happened in less than 5 minutes. But why were you on the fake website? Did you click a link on an email? You clicked a link on an email, didn't you? You know what? That's a very expensive training lesson. If you have websites that are financial in nature, and you know, you can argue about it, but Bitcoin transaction sites and exchanges are probably financial, especially if you're holding $2,000 in one. Maybe I'm just saying use a bookmark. Maybe don't trust that link in an email saying, hey, log in here because there's a problem in your account. Go use your bookmark to log in and see if it's real. Because you know what? Email lies. Email lies a lot. It's text-based. It's actually very easy to make email lie. Companies spend stupid amounts of money trying to catch email lying, and they fail. Don't trust email. You're asking for trouble.
Considering how easy it is to spoof email.
The internet's kind of like the TV, only the truth goes on to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh. And I am the truth.
Fuck. I have a website for you, madman.
Will it tell me what the balance of my checking account is?
Yes.
No. Sorry.
I'll give you a hint at what it will be.
BSV, you click links in email, don't you?
Oh.
No. So, I mean, you're the one sending the links. Got it.
I click links in email all the time because I want to see where it's going to go.
Well, sure. In my virtual machine where I can be sure that nothing is real.
I'm kind of sad that my company hasn't sent out any phishing emails in a while.
So I know, little side story, there's a guy that went to DEF CON who, instead of like taking a super hardened laptop, he took an old ThinkPad running Windows XP, and instead of keeping it segregated, he plugged into every Ethernet and plugged in every USB device just to see how many ways he would get owned.
Fuck, that sounds like it's worth doing.
Yeah.
So what's on that laptop? Nothing. It's just a blank Windows XP install with a password. I just want to see what happens.
Yeah, well, and he was using Compact Flash with the operating system, so it's like he could pull one out, put another one in, and continue on with his day.
And it probably ran pretty quick doing that,
I would imagine.
Actually, a lot of old laptops, they do that trick where they put a Compact Flash in instead of the hard drive. Way better. Hell, old iPods, people used to do that, now that I think about it. So, anyways, next one up is from The Verge, and just sounds funny because I imagine this accidentally going off in people's pockets. Motorola has patented a display that can heal its own cracked screen with heat.
That sounds...
Third-degree burns to your balls?
Think what this is going to do to your battery life when your phone has to heat itself up enough to remelt your screen.
But in a pinch, no, see, this is great. This is a lifesaver, because in a pinch, what you do...
You can cook those hot wings.
Yeah, I'm like, you're out driving, middle of winter, something happens, your car dies, you know, you still have a ton of battery in that car, so you smack your screen once, you plug it in, you go heal that screen, and you are good
for a while. Get some wood and some kindling first.
Motorola is thinking about a day where phones can heal their own cracks. A patent published today explains how today 8/16. So a patent published a week ago explains how a phone could identify cracks on its touchscreen and then apply heat to the area in an effort to slightly repair the damage. The process relies on something called shape memory polymer, a material that can apparently become deformed and then recover through thermal cycling. Thermal cycling involves changing the temperature of the material rapidly. Yes, we all understood what thermal cycling was. We passed fifth grade, you know, science.
Now, it says rapidly. How rapid?
I don't know. Is this going to be like, you know, like rapid? Is this going to be like on, off? Or is it like, you know, minute to heat up, minute to cool down, minute to heat up, minute to cool down? Material could be used over an LCD or an LED display with a capacitive touch sensor layered in as well. Although the phone could heat the polymer in order to restore it, a user's body heat could be used too. So they've actually got like the patent style drawing of somebody like rubbing the crack vigorously. And I'm just thinking, if the screen is cracked and you're rubbing it, aren't you going to cut your finger? And then they've got another one, you know, that says fascia healing in process. Do not touch. Do not touch. It's a touch screen. People are going to touch it. So The Verge says it's probably not going to happen because the polymer looks like it could feel cheap, unlike glass displays, although maybe rugged devices or gadgets for kids. So they're saying people aren't going to like it because it's not going to feel like glass. You know what? If it could heal its own cracks, I'd probably go for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've busted a couple of phones. I don't know about you guys.
Now, what's going to happen is someone is going to go, and they're like, oh my god, I cracked my screen, and they're going to toss it into like a pot of boiling water?
Oh, why don't it work no more? I don't understand. They're just going to pull out the lighter and start burning it.
Yeah. Yeah, this will only... They're not doing it because, oh, it doesn't look or feel as good. No, they're doing... Because as soon as they went, yeah, look, this thing works with, like, heat. And they're like, but how much heat? And like, oh, like 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Like, someone's going to put 1,000 to it. We're not going to do it.
So here's a real question. Serious question. What are they putting in the phone to let it heat up enough to remelt this screen, even if it is a plastic that's designed for it? Like, are they lacing the touchscreen with nichrome wire or Canthal?
100 degrees Fahrenheit. How hot does an LED get?
Not that hot.
Yeah, not really that hot. I mean, granted, I abuse my electronics, and I've had mine up to like 110 or 120 Fahrenheit. But...
Well, we've all gotten the heat warnings on our phone.
Yeah.
I like that CyberArt says they're using the CPU by just running FreeBSD and updating the ports tree.
Yep, that'll
like
work.
It.
Your bone will melt in the sun. Yeah, no, that's true. And where I live, we're well over 100 most days of the year.
Was that the temperature I read out? Was 100 degrees?
Yeah.
I don't see it in the article now.
Oh, no. That was me making an assumption. I'm sorry.
Because
they said, like, you could heal it with body heat or with rubbing it vigorously, which there's so many jokes there that I can't even, like, start.
Unfortunately, that goes to a YouTube video. Actually, go to the patent. Of course,
body heat,
one
that's
page.
Around 100, so that's 98.6.
Yeah, this thing's going to be one page at a time, isn't it? Fuck that. All right, so, yeah. Well, I mean, it has, you know, do not touch healing in process. I mean, if it deforms at that low of a temperature, you're right. You couldn't leave the phone in the car. You couldn't, like, you know, leave it in your pants. You know, because the screen will warp. Like, anybody who's done any 3D printing, drink, and made any PLA and left it in the car, you'll know what I'm talking about, because if that's the melting temperature of this screen, you're kind of boned, especially if you're in parts of the world that just get that hot. I mean, what if you're out in the desert or, I don't know, Texas?
Yeah, I understand this desert thing.
Or, I don't know, parts of Australia.
All of Australia?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just imagining people with injuries involving their phone melting onto their face when they answer it.
Imagine the malware you could write. The phone rings, you pick it up, you hold it up. It says headset not working or speakerphone not available. So you hold the thing up to your ear, and the next thing you know, you get branded with the hacker's logo on your cheek. I'd say, I see you were a victim of the latest ransomware. So
you didn't pay, therefore you got branded with the logo.
Yeah. Like, oh, look, you got dick butt on your cheek. It's just like... Anyways.
Like, okay, I have something new to start writing on now.
There you go. I'm giving syntax ideas. I'm sure this will end well for everyone involved. I'm going to move on to this. So, got two GitHub links for you today for Digital Dojo. The first is for a project called SecGen. This project generates random vulnerable virtual machines using VirtualBox and Vagrant. So, here's the blurb from the page. SecGen generates virtual machines so students can learn security principles by testing. Boxes like Metasploitable 2 are always the same, and this project uses Vagrant, Puppet, and Ruby to quickly create randomly vulnerable virtual machines that can be used for learning or hosting CTF events. Computer security students benefit from engaging in hacking challenges. So, what's this thing use? Ruby, Vagrant, VirtualBox, Puppet, Packager, ImageMagick, and RubyGens. Looks like NoCoGri and Librarian Puppet. So, yeah, it's just using Puppet and Chef, or not Chef, Ruby. But it spins up a Vagrant box. Looks like it randomizes the modules that it's going to be vulnerable to. And they've got a whole bunch of write-up of how it's doing that. And I'm kind of skimmed it, but it looked like it wouldn't be that hard to expand if you wanted to, like, add new vulnerabilities that could show up in your virtual machines. So, this thing's cool, though, because if you want to practice different hacking tools and not know what it's going to be vulnerable to, this thing means you don't have to ask a friend to go set up a virtual machine and set random passwords for you.
Okay, so this is really neat, because as of a couple of days ago, I started setting up a pen testing lab at my house. And, you know, looking at the different VMs that were out there. You know, there was Metasploits. I was like, okay, this will be one. But once I crack it, what am I gonna do? Like, what am I? Like, well, I can build some that I know are going to be vulnerable, but
you know what they're vulnerable to. So where's the fun?
All no, yeah. So this is actually really neat. I've bookmarked actually, this already.
At one point, I actually had Madman walk over to computers and just, you know, like randomly set the password. I can't know what it is because I'm testing something. And of course, the bastard didn't remember what the password was either because he just, you know, pounded on the keyboard a couple of times. So
I just assumed you were going to crack it eventually.
Well, I probably would have, but.
Well, eventually is relative.
Yep.
Yeah,
it got formatted, I think.
No, I used the NT password reset disk on it eventually, but it was one of those things where we were testing something and it didn't work. And it's like, all right, it didn't work. What was the password? I don't know. Fuck!
This is why you need to throw down $150 and get a USB rubber ducky and a bash bunny, because then it doesn't matter if you lose a password, because it can just inject Mimikatz and pull everything out of memory.
Yeah, but that disk was encrypted, so injecting shit was kind of out of the question. And this was also like 12 years ago, I want to say.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No,
the rubber ducky didn't exist at the time. However, nowadays, apparently there are certain flash drives you can buy that have the right hardware that you can just flash the rubber ducky firmware on them, even though they're just USB drives.
Yep.
That's kind of cool if you want to, you know, save some money. I've actually been designing a combination of a Tensei and a Raspberry Pi so that you could stream from the Raspberry Pi over the Tensei's USB SPI pins. I was playing with the coding. I haven't gotten very far with it, but the idea was to be able to stream keyboard commands from the Raspberry Pi to the device pretending to be a keyboard. And that would be kind of cool for doing that kind of shit. But I haven't finished the designs on that, and I wasn't real happy with the code when I was playing with it. I've got some other projects I'm exploring that are basically going to involve 3D printing and making little portable terminals that can pretend to be keyboards for,
I mean,
total legit purposes.
As long as there's 3D printing involved with a 3D printer,
well, I'm
that
also
prints
thinking,
things in 3D.
I'm also thinking GlowWire in there, so it has a cyberpunk vibe to it.
Yes.
Did that with your Game Boy, you evil bastard.
What did I do with my Game Boy? Put GlowWire in it?
No, you made it where it would capture things on my computer. You made the fake Game Boy that did that.
Yeah, that worked great. Why did I build that again?
Because.
Why wouldn't you build that?
That's a good answer. That's up there with the NES controller that you could use to like take over computers. That was cool too.
There's an NES controller that does physical locate, or it does physical tracking of Bluetooth.
Oh no, this was something I built. I like went and got an NES controller at a thrift shop and jammed I think it was a Tensei and something else in there, and eventually later cut a hole in it, put an LCD screen in it, and had this whole contraption. But yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I was playing with Arduinos, and then my favorite Arduino, the 101, is now discontinued. Sad day.
So yeah, actually, I picked up a handful of the Pi Zero Ws, the ones that have the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth built in.
Yeah,
those
and that's
bastards
what the,
are useful.
That's what the Arduino 101 is.
So, I've also got a whole bunch of these Tensis. No, they're not Tensis. They're Arduino based. I don't remember what the chip in is. It's like an AT8 knockoff. But the thing's like the size of a flash drive, and the whole point of it is that it can emulate a keyboard. So I got like a pack of them off eBay for $10.
Oh.
I think I'm going to do something with one of those too, but I haven't had time. At one point, I had aspirations of making this YouTube channel of making nothing but these crazy cyberpunk devices. So it's like, couldn't you just do that with an Android phone? It's like, yes, but Glow Wire. So, I don't know. It has blue LEDs, dude. Come on.
Oh, dude. Remember all the equipment we used to take war driving? And I think all of that now can be done from the smartphone.
Yes. I still have some of that. Yeah, the little Dell Mini 9 with the crazy high-power Wi-Fi card. Yeah, I've still got that.
As long as you have Wiggle on your Android phone, you're golden.
Yeah, but where's the fun in that? It doesn't involve soldering. It doesn't involve making an antenna. It doesn't involve putting a B and C connector on a Linksys Wi-Fi card and then returning it to Walmart because it didn't work.
And it doesn't involve a really big magnet attaching the antenna to the roof of your car.
No, it doesn't. And I'm disappointed by this. Actually, I made that one out of a bucket. I had a very directional bucket-based antenna. And it worked. Worked fantastically.
Your network. The networks for me.
I miss the old days of open everywhere Wi-Fi.
I miss the old days of when people didn't know it was so easy to crack web and still used it. Anyways, last thing I have to do to the dojo is another GitHub link for SQL IV. This is a massive SQL injection scanning or SQL injection vulnerability scanner. So, it is easy to crack WPS pins on home routers, Cycros, because they still use the 4-bit and 4-bit instead of an actual 8-bit key. So you just crack the 4 and then crack the 4.
Yeah, well, and the first 4 is your key. The second 4 is a station ID.
And Reaver will figure it out in like a couple of hours if you have a decent machine. But So great fun, but it doesn't really work on corporate equipment. I actually find it's much easier to just go on people's LinkedIn page and email them phishing links if you want to get their corporate. So I'm going to need to stop talking now. SQL IV is a massive SQL injection scanner. Multiple domain scanning with SQL injection dorking. Targeted scanning by providing specific domain, reverse domain scanning. Both SQLi scanning and domain info checking are done using multiprocessing. The script is super fast at scanning a lot of URLs. So it's got a tutorial of how to use it, but pretty much it's a tool for doing all kinds of SQL injection scanning and seeing if a web page is vulnerable to it or not. You're supposed to be using this for testing your own web pages, but I've been drinking all night, so there's nothing stopping you from using this on other people's web pages. And since it's a Python script, you could probably even modify it to like feed URLs coming in off of, I don't know, some other tool that's gathering URLs. Shodan comes to mind, or just a really fucking specific Google search.
I haven't looked at this, and I don't know how it works, but I know a lot of IDSs will look for random searches with SQL strings in it.
Some of them do. Others just look for the, one and one equals one or one equals one. And that's when you just change your injection to or two equals two.
Yeah. But I really want to, crank this up to 11 and send it at someone who has that, because all they'll get is millions and millions of alerts from their IDS, and it'll be hilarious.
But you don't actually want to hack their website. You just want to annoy their security people till they turn their IDS off.
Exactly. Because then you can do the fun stuff.
It's like, this shit's broken. It's generating millions of alerts an hour. Why don't you just block that IP address? Fuck!
Well, and at that point, you just spin up an Amazon S3.
Yeah, and you need to do that. You just go on GitHub and search for your Amazon secret key or Amazon key strings and get the. I need to stop talking. I'm giving this show away.
I wasn't saying how you spun up an S3. I was just saying you did that.
No, I haven't done that lately. I don't know why you're accusing me of anything. I mean, it's been at least a month since I went and got somebody else's Amazon keys.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Huh?
Thank you, Thymaster.
SQL injection.
Yeah, SQL injection scanner. This thing's cool. if you write web pages, test your shit. SQL injection has been around far too fucking long. Or, I don't know, don't allow some... Don't use anything but constructed statements, and maybe strip the fucking special characters out of your input. Why in God Green's Earth would anybody put a quotation mark in their first name or a password field? You know what?
Or just stop using quotation marks and
passwords. Or PHP, since that's what it's usually built written in. PHP has HTML special characters as a function where it will replace the actual ASCII characters with the HTML characters, so they're safe to store in a database. It's built into the fucking language now, people. Come on.
Or wait, what's that other database that everyone's using that no one's putting in authentication on?
Mongo.
Yeah, just use that.
Well, sure. If you want to watch people get into your database and laugh at you.
But put encryption on there, put authentication on there.
Where's the fun in that? Not that they've stayed recently. Is Anonymous still relevant? I mean, no. I distinctly remember yes. calling them clowns on Galaxy 15 at some point.
Well, the problem with Anonymous isn't anonymous. Like, it's not a group. It's just whatever collection of people want to call themselves that at the moment.
Actually, I think it's more often than I think it's the FBI wanting to make sure something gets blamed on somebody else.
Sabu. I mean...
What? He got the reference. Zing! Anyways, I think it's time to call the show. Yeah, that's... this wine bottle got empty. Shit shouldn't
Did
be allowed.
Did another one evaporate?
Shit shouldn't be allowed. This stuff should not be empty. That's a party foul.
I actually have to go back to work, so.
What?
Yeah.
Far too late in the evening for that. I mean, if they're going to make you work this, like, they should at least pay your bar tab.
Oh, they do.
So, I mean, I don't know about you guys. Okay, that's how I get through my day. It's like, I'm going to drink when I get home. I actually put a large flask on my desk and wrote incident response plan on it with a Sharpie. Keep getting asked if there's anything in it.
I'm
stealing not, that. Because, you know, I'd drink it if there was. And, yeah. Anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking is every Thursday. I don't know why I still have the missing dialogues in my show notes. I don't think he's done a live show in a long time. I haven't even talked to Lore in like a year. Lore, if you're still listening to the show, dude, hop on TeamSpeak. I haven't seen you in for fucking ever. Galaxy 15 Radio site, which is basically just a gateway to the chat room. The Twitter handle, which I haven't updated in years and is probably banned at this point. The feedback forum, which hasn't worked in a long time. And the subreddit, which is actually still a valid way of getting a hold of me. In fact, the subreddit is probably the best way to get a hold of me. So I really need to update my template. That's all I have.
Well, I'm gonna send a shout out to River and to the other one that shall not be named. All the people that at DEF CON. You know, my peeps.
You got your peeps. So yeah. Syntax, we're not calling it future news because Swaff said he'd beat me up if I did. Closing thoughts.
Fucking shit, future news. I totally forgot that was a thing. So future news.
We're not calling it that.
So in future news. Threatened
me with a blunt knife.
In future news.
Damn it.
We're gonna stop calling SQL injection low hanging fruit and call it the fruit we picked up off the ground.
We're going to call it dragging your balls through the broken glass.
And yet it still works.
Madman, closing thoughts.
Amazon has put out hits for both the heads of Walmart and Google. Their deaths will be reported in the news here shortly.
PSV, future, I mean, closing thoughts.
Oh. a report of Mopes being attacked by Suave due to feature news violation.
I've been making that joke, and the last time I talked to Suave, he was like, you know, I really don't care about that, right?
You're ruining the joke!
I know, I'm drunk. I'm sorry.
It's not ruining the joke, he talked about it live on air at the end of the show when Suave was here.
Yes, Suave actually said, what are you talking about?
I don't care.
You were there. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Why is it not playing the thing?
Because you changed the button.
Pac-Man refuses to die this time, damn it. He's gonna eat all those fucking ghosts.
That's not the right
button. Your glass is empty.
And as our data clearly shows, humans cannot be trusted.
That is accurate, but not the button. There it is.
Oh, he finally died.
Label the goddamn buttons.
It is labeled.
Relabel the goddamn buttons.
The text is really small.
Drink less.
Heathen.